Well, AJ, I can say we can catch that kid, but you're not quite there yet. But here's something you did catch. An engagement. How do you catch an engagement?
Well, it's like catching a cold. It just falls on your lap.
Yeah. This
congratulations,
just fell into my
lap. Everyone, whatever you're doing, clap and congratulate AJ because he is the first co-host of the Old Kids Movies to get engaged.
Factually, I guess that is true. But yes, I am engaged. Thank
the
you,
very
Trevor.
First in all of its history. He's also the first to go to college. But we didn't have the show.
Well, I mean, that's true. I went to college before you did because I'm two grades above you. You know what's crazy? My fiance is only, I'm getting used to saying it now, is a month older than you, but is a year older than you grade-wise because the cutoff was November 1st when she went to school.
It's different everywhere. And I can't wait to give a great speech at the wedding, whether I'm invited to or not.
yes, Trevor, are invited to the wedding. My God.
No. Invited to make a speech at the wedding. Whether I'm invited to make a speech or not, I can't wait to hammer down some champagne glasses, grab the microphone, be like, look, it's a podcast. We're going to do it right now and make a fool out of myself.
Maybe you're not invited to the wedding.
I got uninvited just like that. Anything you want to share about it, AJ, now before we talk about the movie?
Hi, everyone. We're doing Catch That Kid. It went really well. I proposed on the beach in Florida in Naples. My parents were there. Her parents flew down to surprise her. And then a couple days later, we started a road trip and drove all the way up the East Coast and saw some of her family. Some of my friends went to Disney World, went to Epcot. Do you remember, if you go back and listen to the podcast like 2 years ago, I'm lamenting the fact that it's been like 15 years and I've been back to Disney World. And since I've said things like that, over the past 18 months, I have gone to Disney 3 times, once in another country. So, you know, things are coming up all AJ this year.
That's great. I haven't even been to Disneyland recently. I'd like to. We're going to try to. We'll probably take a day off to go.
Have you been since you lived there?
No.
That's insane. That is ridiculous.
So congratulations again.
Thank you.
I'm sure at some point it'll be the Old Kids Movies Married Edition. we'll record an episode at the wedding. Don't you worry, everybody.
Trevor's making promises he can't keep.
We will definitely be recording an episode at the wedding. It'll be hilarious.
Oh, my God. Well, until then, let's talk about Catch That Kid. This is a movie that I'm frankly baffled it's taken us this long. I think this is one of the big ones that we've held out on. Or at least I thought that way until I looked and I saw the Letterboxd logged. Like, this is... So, something I don't like about Letterboxd is you cannot organize a list by the number of people who have said that they have seen it. You can only do it by film popularity about people who have logged it as an activity. It's like, I watched on this date, added it to their diary. I don't really like that. But regardless, like, if you look at our Letterboxd list of all of the movies that we have done on this show in terms of popularity of all time, like the number of logs that these movies have had, Catch That Kid is towards the bottom. And I'm really surprised about that because I felt like this was kind of a big deal when it came out. The box office was a little bit lower than I thought it was. It only brought in $17 million against a $12 million budget. I did not see this in theaters, but I got the DVD and I loved this movie.
I think I told you I had a story about why I never saw this movie. There was a time whenever it was in theaters, I remember seeing like the trailer and everything just a bunch of times, you know, all that stuff. And I never saw it because the one time we were going to go see it, I really wanted to see it actually. I remember clearly like seeing it come out and being like, oh, this looks fun. This looks fun. This is like a perfect movie for like when you're 8 or 9 or 10, you're a kid, whatever. You're like, oh my God, kids are robbing a bank. That's so cool. You know, whether it is cool or not, it's just, it seems cool as a kid. It seems more stressful than anything else. But the time we were going to see it, my mom, she probably didn't want to see it. She's like, all right, we could see it or we could go to the arcade instead. And I chose the arcade because I
Trevor!
Love the arcade.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I knew where that was going.
I don't really regret it after seeing it now. After all this time, I probably had a good time at the arcade. But she's like, all right, yeah, do you want to see it or we can go to the arcade? It's up to you. It must have been like a Saturday or a school break or something. And I'm like, I'd like to go to the arcade, actually. That's more of a fun decision.
Yeah, but you said something that I also wrote down, and that is that when you were 8, 9, 10 years old, so this movie came out in theaters when I was 9. I probably got the DVD when I was about to turn 10, or I just turned 10. This was about the fucking coolest thing that you could ever imagine. Like you said, it was kids robbing a bank, and it was star power kids too. So I didn't look at what they had done before in terms of being recognized, but Kristen Stewart, Corbin Bleu, and Max Thario are like, they're kind of big nostalgia names. And of course, Kristen's still working to this day, doing a lot of indie stuff.
Yes.
But Corbin Bleu from like High School Musical and Flight 29 Down, again, that came a little bit later. Max Thario, who's in The Pacifier, and he's
not
probably in
else.
More things. I mean, he's in Fire Country and Bates Motel now. But I mean, so he's still a working actor. He did like House at the End of the Street with Jennifer Lawrence, the really bad horror movie like from 10, 12 years ago. But this movie came out 20 years ago, back in February. Again, our anniversary timeline is fumbled by my travels earlier this year, but this movie is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, and I think one of the reasons why I didn't do it like last year or the year before, I was like, okay, let's do it in 2024, because that's a good time to do it. But it's making me remember the fact that there are still movies out there, there are still big movies out there that we have not done yet, and I'm just like, looking at the list of movies that we haven't done yet, there are things like Cadet Kelly, Ice Age we haven't done yet, Like Mike we haven't done yet. We haven't done a lot of Disney movies like Mulan or Tarzan yet. We haven't done RV, you know, we haven't done Shark Tale, which I know is a big one that you want to do. We haven't done the Spy Kids sequels. There's a lot of big movies out there that we have not done yet. And to me, this was one of the low-hanging fruits that, you know, we had to do it.
Yeah, but just to your point about saying these people, and they've done some stuff, Max has done some stuff, you're really stretching and pulling a random movie out of the bag from 10 or 12 years ago. Like, who the hell has heard of? I can't remember the name of the movie you pulled out with Jennifer Lawrence.
House at the End of the Street. Okay, that was a bad example. But, like,
yes.
The point is, I think Max has also kind of shifted to TV now. Like, so my fiance, I'm going to get used to saying it, and her entire family love, like, the CBS, like, FBI.
Sure.
Like for those shows. And like I never watched those shows, but her whole family's obsessed, and her sister was a big Fire Country person until like apparently after episode 12 it got bad, but like she was a big Fire Country person, and he was in Fire Country, and he was in like one of the FBI shows or something. Someone's gonna correct me, and he got like written off, and then they got him on Fire Country or something. Anyways, like he's still a working actor today. He's TV, but
okay.
Like he's a known actor. I think
Kristen Stewart's the biggest actor out of all of them
100%
from this movie.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, did you see Love Lies Bleeding?
Not yet. It's on my list.
Is it supposed to be like a grittier Thelma and Louise? Because I like Thelma and Louise.
I have no idea. Legitimately no idea.
Well, I again, when you're coming back from that month, your A-list catch-up is pretty long. But I am seeing Monkey Man and Civil War this weekend, and I'm very excited to see both of them.
Good for you. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So as much as I had a good time with this movie when it first came out, That consensus was not shared among the critics, and it got 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 33 out of 100 on Metacritic. It opened, like I said, pretty low. I think it opened at, it says, number 6 at the box office, and it just did not make that much money back. I have a little bit more to say about the history, Trevor, but when I saw your review, and I'm going to let you have your spiel and everything like that, I saw, like, it was pretty, not your review, your rating. I thought your rating was pretty harsh. And I've watched the movie since seeing the rating, and I don't think this is a perfect movie. I don't think this is a great movie, but I would just love like a general, like you just like a 1.5 on Letterboxd, in my opinion, is like pretty harsh. And I'm just curious, like, again, feel the way you feel. Generally, why did you feel that way?
Well, it's harsh because I don't really think it's a good movie. It wasn't enjoyable. It has a great premise for me to enjoy. Like, this is something that I would like love to watch. I don't know. Kids robbing a bank. That's hysterical. What a great idea. What a fun idea. It's just not very fun. The jokes don't land. The acting overall isn't very interesting. The plot is, or rather the conflict is so ridiculous. Like
the plot about the dad needing the surgery or the kids robbing, like,
yes, it's just kind of ridiculous. So the dad needs this surgery. He has like an issue from climbing and stuff. Fine. and it like he re-agitated the injury or something. That's the issue. But it's like he's just paralyzed from the neck down, and they're talking about this like it's a life-threatening injury, but it's not. It's like they're trying to save his life. He's just paralyzed. He's not going to die. And it's also like weird that he has this life-threatening injury or whatever, yet the thing that caused it, she's like trying to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. So like you're saying a proper ending of this movie would have been Maddie getting paralyzed too.
That or maybe I don't know. Like that's partial. Like that's one of the things that could have happened. Could have gotten paralyzed, or maybe I feel like this conflict was never really solved. Of she loves to climb, and her mom doesn't really want her to climb. And I don't know if like her dad really wants her to climb either. But it just was kind of a weird conflict that I felt was unresolved.
Yeah, that's fair, because they make a big deal about like Maddie, like, you know how much I don't like you climbing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I wouldn't say that it's fair to get hung up on it, but it's not something that I would get like really hung up on, or something that I didn't get hung up on. And I've seen this movie a lot. I mean, yes, I saw it mostly when I was a kid. I haven't watched it in a while, but I respect the take, but I just don't think that's a piece that I would ever get like that. This is a 1.5-star movie, but you know, we'll get into all the specifics and rebuttals and things like that. A little bit more history about the movie. In 2016, Mara Wilson from Matilda and Mrs. Doubtfire and Miracle on 34th Street wrote in an article for The Guardian that she, even though she knew she was too old, she auditioned for the role of Maddie. And so that means that she was probably... Actually, I'm curious. So Kristen Stewart, I didn't do the math on this yet.
Who is this, you said? Mara
Wilson.
Matilda?
Okay. Yeah. So Kristen Stewart was born in 90, so she was 13 when she made this movie, whereas Mara Wilson was born in 87. So yeah, she was 16. She was a bit too old, compared especially
That's
to
crazy.
Corbin Bleu and Max Thario. I think it's Thario.
Sure.
Yeah. A couple other things. It was directed by, I'm going to butcher his last name, but Bart Friundlich? Mm-hmm. And do you know who he's married to, by any chance?
No.
The director of this movie is married to Julianne Moore.
Wow.
Yeah. Saw that on Wikipedia. Nothing of note, to be honest. I mean, nothing that I saw, at least on his Wikipedia. Let me give it one more look. But from what I looked, it didn't seem like there was anything huge. World Traveler, The Rebound, Wolves. He did some episodes of Californication. And honestly, that's kind of it. He really hasn't done that much.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, but he's married to Julianne Moore. He's doing just fine.
Cool.
This movie was written by Michael Brandt and Derek Haas. They are a screenwriting pair. They did Too Fast, Too Furious, Wanted, a lot of the Chicago Fire, PD, Med shows. And I kind of see some similarities with movies like Too Fast, Too Furious, Wanted. Just like, you know, fun while you're watching them, well enough produced action movies for when you're watching it. And do they leave something to be desired while you're watching them or afterwards? Yeah, sure, probably. They're not 5-star movies, but it's like, okay, that was, you know, I sure. watched what I watched and it was fine.
I haven't seen that one, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Too Fast, Too Furious, it's exactly like this. It's like, okay, cool. Like, it's a Fast and Furious movie.
Right, and I think that's why I'm like, this movie, I have no nostalgic factor about this, but I knew that as a kid I'd probably enjoy it. And two, there's nothing special about this movie. There's nothing about this movie that says, wow, that has a wow factor.
Aside from the concept.
Yeah, the concept is fine, but it's also not an original concept. It's a remake of a foreign film.
It's a remake of a Danish film called Klatretosen. I believe I'm pronouncing that probably incorrectly.
Have you seen that one?
I have not seen Klatretosen. I did look it up today, and I could not find it streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
But I believe that word translates to the climbing girl. So I wonder if in the Danish version, climbing is more of a part of the movie and part of the story than it is in Catch That Kid. I think in this one, it's just like she's cool. She climbs, and it's more about the heist than her climbing, which I don't have a problem with. But I get
been a
why
cool
you
story
think that
as
way.
Well.
Yeah. Well, they got a bank to rob, and we got a podcast to do. All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we jump into the movie?
No, like I said, I don't have the history as you do with this, so let's just talk about it.
All right, here we go for its 20th anniversary. Here is 2004's Catch That Kid.
Inside 80 floors of reinforced steel, guarded by a state-of-the-art safe, lies the one thing they need most. There is not a pro in the world who could ever break in. But these are not pros.
Whoa.
Man, we are so grounded.
Okay, guys, let's go over the plan.
I created a digital blueprint of the building.
That is awesome!
Find out how far three friends will go.
We're gonna make our way to the safe. It's suspended 100 feet off the ground.
To save her family.
You ready?
Let's hit it.
Let's go save your dad.
I wonder if you could finish the 8th grade in prison.
She set off a timer.
Security breach.
Security breach.
Release the dogs.
Run!
Catch That Kid.
Hi, Mom. What are you doing? I'm just hanging out.
Trevor, I struggled.
Yeah?
I struggled to write down anything in particular that I loved. And I want to emphasize that does not mean I was having a bad time. I wrote down things I liked. I wrote down things I didn't like. But it was hard for me to kind of pinpoint what specifically I loved. Like, were there scenes? Were there performances? Were things like that? I've got some lines. I've got a couple scenes. But in general, the kind of positive I want to start off with here is the concept. I think this is, they hit on a lot of things that are just cool for kids. It's about a bank robbery. It's about go-karts. It's about climbing. Like, all of these cool things that either you do, you want to do, or you wish you could do, but you never could do. And they throw a lot of this, like, the word cool, I think, really applies here, especially in, like, 2003 when you're 10 years old. And it's, to me, it's not, you know, she's not a climber for the sake. She doesn't climb just because she climbs. Her dad's a climber. It's important to her. There's kids who make movies. There's just like things in here that are just cool things, and they are baked into the narrative to the point where I think the concept flows pretty well. I hear you on the whole, the climbing narrative is unresolved. I totally hear that. But just in general, for like the setup and the concept of this movie is like, you've got Gus, who works at the go-kart track with his brother, and that's why he knows all, like, the hands-on stuff about the cars. Austin, I guess, films it regularly, and so that's why he's the tech whiz. That's loose, I'll give you that. But everything else, just in general, I would just say they kind of do a good job of everyone's got a background. This is what's happened, and here's how people are using their skills to do this really cool thing. I think they kind of blend those ideas of cool and functional narrative really well together, and I think that's why this movie has a huge silver lining for me.
They try to blend it. It's so ridiculous. Like, don't you get it? This guy's cool. He drives a go-kart. This guy's the mechanic. He does a pit crew on a go-kart, which isn't real. That's not a real thing. They try so hard to make things look way cooler than they are in reality. It falls so flat to me. She's climbing a water tower. Absolutely, unbelievably dangerous for someone of her age to do. Mm-hmm. If you're a climber, you don't do that. There are climbing gyms. There are instructors that will take you out because it is fairly safe to climb, relatively, but you need to have the right people with you. You need to, like, have, you know, instructor or go to a gym. There are places she could go and be in a safe environment. But that's why I'm like, this isn't doing anything any justice. People are going, kids watching this are going to think that's cool. And well, yeah, climbing is cool. I climb. That's not cool. That's just dangerous and stupid what she does.
She's using the proper safety techniques. You know, she's watching, and she's got the cables and things like that. She's, you know.
A water tower isn't safe though. It isn't sturdy as like a rock or something. And she has no one there. Like, she's basically lead climbing, but I just don't imagine her knowing what she's doing, really. Like, it even showed when she fell and she's locked in, she'll fall just a little bit and it all breaks. So it's really not safe.
Mm-hmm.
What she's doing.
Would you have liked this movie more if you didn't climb on a regular basis?
No, I don't think so. I think the other issue is that they use this climbing bit as a way to have something cool happen in the bank. That scene is so ridiculous. Like, this is just seemingly like a normal bank, but this is a super bank. by all accounts, it looks like just a normal bank, but they should have set this up as like a super bank, impenetrable or whatever.
I think they did set it up as a super bank. I mean, the dogs, the lasers, the cameras, the friggin' wall crusher, like, that would just, like, come down and block things out. Like it would smush you if you got stuck there.
What is this bank actually, like, what is this bank? You know in Ocean's 11, how they kind of spend some time explaining why this bank is, or why they're trying to rob this specific casino? And they kind of talk about everything, and they go through all the steps and jobs for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't do that here. It's very lazy.
They do say that it's like a new bank, and they're opening a new bank, and they're really leaning into trying to make it technically safe and secure. So maybe it's the fact that it's like a new, hip 2003 bank, because they do show that this movie takes place in 2003. But I wonder if that had anything to do with what you're talking about.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, like, that last scene was, it just didn't do it for me.
Which last scene?
The actual heist, sorry. The setup and payoff of the climbing just really didn't do it for me, and it feels like that's a huge part of the movie. And I think everyone having, like, their little thing, that's a big part of a heist movie, is everyone having, like, their bit, everyone having their job, everyone having their skills. I thought all of them were just really silly. And all of the stuff they did, I thought the execution was not there for me. This did not crack the safe open for me. This is, in fact, a very locked. They did not crack it open.
Well, let me ask you about my favorite scene in that sequence, though. What did you think about the opening the safety deposit boxes to make stairs?
This is going to work.
Maddie, you can't climb. This is too dangerous. You'll never make it.
I'm doing it.
Austin, you've got to hack into the main whatever and find some way to bring down the safe. Maddie's gonna kill herself.
Check. Searching now.
Gus, I love you. Now do what I say.
Okay? 5-3-4-4.
I'm searching for the hydraulic controls for the safe, but you guys, I can't find anything.
What's going on in there?
2-2-4-4.
You don't want to know, dude.
I do want to know.
What's next?
4-2-3-1.
Curse!
Sorry.
You're killing me here, dude. Focus. Retract 4-2-3-2.
Again, I think that this bank, it was ridiculous. I think it was just kind of ridiculous. And the scene itself was, like, kind of entertaining, but I'm like, this is so ridiculous. And as soon as they go in, I'm like, oh, they're going to use those as stairs. But also, why do that when she's set up as a climber? Like, those, she's just walking on a staircase.
Well, because she needed to get to the place where she could do her climb.
I just think that's ridiculous.
She's inventive and resourceful, Trevor. She's a girl boss. Give her credit.
I do give her credit. She's like a highlight of the movie. She's probably the only good part of the movie.
Maddie or Kristen Stewart? Or both?
I guess both, in a way. She's a good actress. She's always had it. There are parts about her character I thought were silly, but I think she played the character pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think her two friends that I think were bad.
Yeah, she probably does give the best performance in the movie. I mean, maybe the dad, but there are some bad performances. Don't worry, we're going to get to that. I loved the stair making scene. I thought that was like the coolest shit as a kid. Like this touch screen that doesn't actually have a screen that opens up, and the music picks up, and just this, how do you solve the problem? And I like movies where kids can solve a problem like that, because it's, especially when you're that age, it's a lot of wish fulfillment. And I think that that's a cool thing to watch when you're a kid. And I also enjoyed watching it as an adult and just kind of seeing Gus frustrated about, like, there's no way this is going to work, and but him, like, having to reluctantly help out. I also loved the line when they walked into the safe for the first time, and Gus is just listing out all of the punishments. Like, we're so grounded. My Xbox, my TV, my go-kart, take out the trash, and he starts listing off, yeah, like, all the bad things that are going to happen to him.
Whoa. Maddie, we are so grounded. Say goodbye to my Xbox,
my iPod, my go-kart. Gonna have to take out the trash, do the dishes, massage grandma's old feet.
I don't know, this movie failed to win me over in the beginning and failed to win me over at the end. And I'd had a lot of opportunities to win me over. I think there were a couple times it was like close, but it just never got there.
What was the closest for you?
I think when they started to get to the bank, when they were riding the go-karts to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I'm like, oh my God, this is close.
It's but then it was just,
because it was so ridiculous. I remember laughing out loud. But this isn't supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be cool. That scene is supposed to be cool. It's not supposed to be like unintentionally funny. No, I mean, so I laughed a lot at this movie. But again, that's not the intended point of this. I don't think this movie is like a comedy. I don't think any of the jokes that they said were like very funny. I'm just more like laughing because I'm like questioning what they're doing.
What about the go-kart scene at the end after they escape and they're riding through LA on the go-karts where Maddie's escaping and then Gus and Austin, there's a character named Austin in this movie, by the way, we haven't talked about him, and they're going their separate ways. And I think the Gus Austin escape is actually pretty, okay, I thought I was going to say it's pretty fun. And then when they go to their spot, and I did notice at one point, and I think this is what would have been different if they made this movie maybe for an older audience, is when they escaped and they got to their hideout, they said, do you think that Maddie got out okay? And they're like, oh yeah, I'm sure she got out okay. And then they just kind of look at each other quietly. And I'm like, is it going to hard cut here to them going right back out? Because I thought that would be really cool. But it didn't. They had Gus say, we have to go back and help her, don't we? And then they go. And I was a little bummed about that. And I get it as a kid. It might seem like a jarring hard cut if they just look at each other, the music picks up, and then they zoom off.
Yeah.
But I wish in hindsight that, like, again, I get it for 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, I get it. But I just wish that they had had – that to me would have been a really cool sign of we're going to, like, trust our audience a little bit. We're going to, like – we're which is hard to do with kids, I know. But I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah, I agree with you there because that is something like – this is a movie where it's – again, it's for kids. So they have to really spell everything out. I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing. Being unrealistic is not a bad thing. You know, you can be unrealistic and be fun and exciting, but this movie was being unrealistic and the tone didn't match. It's supposed to be like cool. There's a lot of moments I'm supposed to feel kind of emotional and like, oh no. And also the original motivation, the core conflict is emotional too. Like she's trying to save her dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And she does this for her dad. You know what I mean? That's why, like, I just feel like there's a little bit of a kind of a disconnect there with the tone and certain scenes that would have been fun if they leaned into this a different way. Where else?
Well, tell me what you liked about this, because you mentioned Kristen Stewart. But what else?
Well, let me finish the thought first. We'll talk about the go-karting scene later. I'll just talk about some things I liked. I did like the climbing scenes were sometimes filmed kind of cool, and there was a sense of danger or excitement or some tension there at the beginning. I don't think the editing was particularly strong. It was a little jarring, but there was some good tension. I think go-karts are fun inherently. So when I found out like there would be a lot of go-karts in this, I think that's fun. And I feel like I know there are like go-kart competitions and stuff, but I don't know. I think that was fun to have. I will agree there.
Did you like the bank manager's obsession with Robert De Niro?
Okay, sure. I liked that part. That part was kind of fun. But the fact that he made the password De Niro and not random numbers or something that only he would know and not based on his core personality, I think that's ridiculous.
Listen, if Diane Kruger can put Valley Forge as the password in National Treasure, then this guy can make De Niro the password in Catch That Kid.
Again, I had an issue with that too.
Trevor, it's Valley Forge. Use the L and the E twice.
I had an issue with that, too. Obviously, answers to riddles can be obvious answers. Passwords should not be keywords. They would also be like Valley spelled with a 4 and then a 3 and the Y is another 4. And
yeah,
then
but
fours with
did
like
you
two
ever
X's.
Make a password before 2005? It was like I always had like Christmas with a capital C or something like that. Like it was never like exclamation point, X4 open parentheses, this shit that Apple generates for you now. You had like 123456 was the most popular password. I don't know what else
is
to say.
Is that true?
Like, at one point, I'm pretty sure like 123456789 was the most popular password or one of the most popular passwords.
It's password.
That's another one too. That's great.
It's ridiculous.
Josh,
people don't
too.
Know. Yeah, people don't know good security.
Do you not remember that episode of Drake and Josh where it's like simple? His password is password, and Drake and Megan are laughing about it. And Josh
goes to change it. So you changing your password?
No.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go through a couple lines then, because I'm sure you have a few things to say in the next section. And
sure.
To be fair, I do too. Did you like the interaction with Gus's brother and Maddie where he's talking about, I'm going to go be a trainee. I'm not an intern. I'm a trainee, you butt munch. And then Gus just says, sorry, he's training to be a butt munch.
No, I don't remember that line.
Brotherly banter. I thought that it was pretty funny. And when you watch this movie again, I suggest you look out for it.
Okay. When I watch this movie again.
I had the scene where Gus goes to the bank to look or the architect office to look for floor plans. And the receptionist is like, this young man would like the floor plans of the bank. And the guy on the Zoom just goes, are you friggin' nuts? And I like the scene in general, too, because, again, I don't think Max was that great of an actor in this movie. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't, you know, up. He wasn't Fire Country quality. But when he makes a little pouty face at the receptionist when he asks for her help, I thought that was so pure and really funny.
There is a really nice boy here who's going to write an essay about the design of the Harderbach Financial Building, and he needs a floor plan drawing that he can use as a visual aid for his essay.
Are you freaking nuts? You can't give bank floor plans to a kid. You're just...
Normally, he's very nice.
Again, like just ridiculous things, like, I get that this is a kid's movie and they have to get it, but I just feel like everything comes to them way too easily.
Hey, he had to show his burn scar.
You know what it is? The adults in this movie are stupid and gullible.
I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Don't you?
They're way too stupid and gullible for my taste.
The last thing I had is when the computer or when the alarm goes off and it goes to the security office with like the two guards. The computer voice, I thought it was kind of stupid, but kind of funny. The computer says, you know, security breach, do something. Do something now. Anything.
Security breach. Security breach. Do something. Do something now. Anything.
I wasn't sure if you get a kick out of that or not, but I thought it was pretty funny. It was a nice touch.
I got a kick out of the baby going on the heist with them. That was fun.
What else did you like?
I think this is more topical now, but I thought it was a kind of fun and interesting choice that like the boys were only really interested in this because they wanted to date Kristen Stewart's character. And as soon as she was like, I don't really want to date either of you or whatever, they're like, fuck this, I'm out of here. Like,
you
rob the bank by yourself. Well, it had a problem, but I think in another... done differently and knowing Kristen Stewart as we know now and how like some of her shtick on things, I think it almost brings new life into that where like I saw one of the Letterboxd reviews.
The Letterboxd reviews on this movie are unhinged.
They're really good. And one of them is like, oh, she's Kristen Stewart plays a lesbian in this one who's getting two guys to thirst after her. And like, it's kind of true. That is what she's doing.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of what she...
Not to speculate or anything.
Of this movie? Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of what she does, though, in this movie. Yeah. Like, the guys are really cringy and like, awful. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're just... They're kind of gross. They're pining after her. It's weird to see.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, they're preteen boys who like a girl.
I guess so, but the way... At the beginning of the movie, Corbin Blue's like filming her, like, this is the star of the movie. Like, guys,
yeah, that
really?
that was pretty creepy. The fact that Maddie has like this cool shot of her, like, barely surviving a fall from a water tower or while she's climbing, and Gus is like working the pit stop. He's kind of inept, but he's like working the pit stop. Meanwhile, Austin is like, I'm gonna film this girl like a stalker, and
yes,
that's my intro. I thought that was weird. It was
weird.
A choice.
That's exactly what it was. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm coming from this.
Yeah.
What
else you got? The things that you like, Trevor?
There was one line I really liked.
Okay.
We're going to go to jail forever until we're 21. That line was hysterical. I don't know why, but I was like, this is freaking amazing. I love this line.
Again, it's the acting chops of a man who has a steady gig on Fire Country right now.
That was a funny line. It was delivered very funnily.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Anything else you want to say, or shall we talk about your favorite part of the podcast today?
Let's talk about my favorite part of the podcast.
What do you got, Trevor?
What? I mean, it's not my favorite part. I don't like just shitting on movies. Because
this episode.
I think I mentioned a lot of the stuff I have an issue with already. My bigger issue is we know what this is set up for, but I feel like they get to the bank a little bit too early. So I think the pacing is a little off for me. Like mm-hmm. that we don't really get to see what they're going to do before they get there, and then they're there. Like they're there maybe 35 minutes into the movie. Mm-hmm. I think that's too early. They need to get there about 45 to 50 minutes in.
Yeah, I did notice that like by 20 minutes she was already like in the bank. By like, I think 17 minutes she was already in the bank scoping things out. Like this is also a 90-minute movie. It's a quick watch. I don't really know what you would cut out of the end to keep it a 90-minute movie. What I think you'd have to do is make this a longer movie. But I also, like, I think the kids don't care about the family drama. I don't think, like, I didn't notice as a kid that you start the heist at 30 minutes in. I thought it was really cool that you just, like, jumped right into it.
That's fair. But watching this now, I would like a movie to have one or two things. One, be entertaining. Mm-hmm. Or a few things, rather. It's either entertaining, has good pacing, has good characters and emotion, is goofy enough, bad enough that I can laugh at it. There has to mm-hmm. be some kind of line. And this kind of fell in the middle of everything. It's not mm-hmm. well-paced enough. The jokes don't really land. It's not bad enough where I think this is awful. And,
well, like, to me, 1.5 is like, again, it's pretty harsh. Like, that's my take on it. But
yeah, I mean, 1.5 is a movie that I did not enjoy watching and would not recommend anyone else watch. And I really struggled in the positive section of this. I really struggled to find things that I liked about it. It was forgettable in a movie. And I think that's part of the issue is this movie, I remembered when it was coming out. I had a very fond memory of wanting to see this movie. And now that I finally did, it kind of ruined my memory. I wish the movie that was in my head as a kid was still there, but I have this movie instead. And I know that sounds harsh, but I think that's true because they botched how cool of a movie this could have been and how resonant this could have been growing up. And I don't think that's a problem. It's not a bad thing to like movies as a kid. Like, I probably would have loved this movie as a kid. Would I have mm-hmm. seen it many times? Probably not, but I would have seen it. And watching it now, I don't like it. And I think that's okay because tastes change and
you are allowed to not like the movie.
Exactly. We are allowed to dislike things and all that stuff.
Yeah, I have a few specific things I did not like. And I'll be honest with you, Trevor. It was like the first 5 minutes or so of this movie. I was like, oh, because we talked a little bit about this before. And I remember loving this movie. But again, I have been proven wrong on a lot of movies that I loved as a kid and that I've come back on this show. Casper Meets Wendy, mm-hmm. didn't like it. Are We There Yet? I really struggled to like that movie. There's other examples that I'm spacing on, but you know that, like, I've, like, Punks, I really thought it's like, love Punks, and it was like, it just, like, wasn't as good as I remember. So I'm not averse to saying I liked this as a kid a lot. I've gone and watched it as an adult, and it just didn't do it for me. But then, of course, there are times where, like, I watched Air Bud again, and I was like, holy shit, this movie's so much better than I thought. And I thought of Air Bud going into this because the first 5 minutes of Air Bud, I was like, oh shit, I'm in for a rough watch. And then it just, like, almost made me cry. But I do want to know, like, when I was watching the first 5 minutes of this movie, I was like, fuck, the effects are not good. The opening song is not good. It's like,
oh god, the music in this movie.
Yeah. It was like weird tension that was happening for no reason with her falling. And then it transitions into that opening scene of the mom meeting the owner or manager of the bank. And it's just evil opening exposition, evil accent, and the whole when I turn around, both of you will be gone. This was just an awful way to kick off this movie.
Are you aware that your security company's deadline for getting my bank online was 23 hours ago?
Mr. Brisbane, I did inform you that due to the age of the building that we...
The primary shareholders will be here for the opening of the bank next Friday night.
Mr. Brisbane, as I have said, the system will not have been tested and I cannot in any kind of good conscience...
That party will take place, Mrs. Phillips, with or without your consent.
This is one of the most complex instances...
Hartman! Don't tell me how to run my bank, all right? You work for me, remember? Now, when I turn around, both of you will be gone.
The movie, I think the opening, this is a part where it really could have hooked me and intrigued me, but it didn't. The climbing scene, yeah, whatever. It was kind of cool, but it just was really poor setup. Then you have like the names showing up on screen. So I watched this when I was in New York. I actually watched this with my friend when I was staying. This is funny. And my friend knew nothing about this movie when we put it on. He listens to the show sometimes. If you're listening, hi, Kyle and Katie.
Hi, Kyle and Katie. Thanks for listening.
And yeah. And I don't know. I asked if he wanted to watch this with me for the show. He's like, yep, let's watch it. And I asked him if he wanted to know what it's about. He said no. So I just put it on. They knew nothing about this movie except for the name. And right when the names started popping up and they were showing everyone doing their thing, they showed Corbin Bleu doing his camera thing. They showed Max doing his pit crew thing. He said, oh, this is a heist movie. This is a kid's heist movie. Again, this is someone that has never heard of this movie, does not know what it's about, anything like that. He's like, oh, it's a heist movie.
Well, also with the title Catch That Kid, maybe it gives it away.
No, it doesn't.
I hate when movies do the whole, like, freeze frame, here's the face. Like, even when Unaccompanied Minors does it, I don't like it. I like movies that do it. I don't like movies when they do it.
Yeah, I don't even remember when the freeze frame was.
It was like when she fell down the water tower and it like stopped and like the effects changed and then her name just like kind of went in. Yeah. Just, it's unnecessary. Gus's older brother says the R word. Just going to throw that out
there.
Yes,
he does. Another issue I had is like the big bank party. They are setting all these things up just to have cool sequences, not because it makes logistical sense. They're doing this during the big bank party because they say, oh, there'll be most eyes off of the prize that night.
Mm-hmm.
That's so stupid. What a stupid thing to say, and what a stupid reason to rob it during the bank party. I don't buy that for a second.
Am I wrong? I haven't seen Ocean's 11 in a very long time, but didn't Ocean's 11 do something similar?
But I think there's like a real reason for things. But this basically is trying to be Ocean's 11.
Yeah, it is trying to be Ocean's 11 and Spy Kids.
But I forget why it made sense in that movie. I'm sure it made sense in that movie. It's also trying to be a little bit of Spy Kids with the cool music. I think the music is very reminiscent of Spy Kids.
Yeah, it is obviously all of the reviews were comparing it maybe favorably or unfavorably to Spy Kids. We'll get to. I mean, Roger Ebert said that this is as much fun as Spy Kids and more fun than Agent Cody Banks. But don't answer that question just yet, because that's going to be my question for you at the end of this episode.
Okay, I see.
This movie's art. So
it's art.
I have only one more thing that I didn't like in this movie that I want to call out, and it was the guard. We talked a little bit about the adults in this movie. I didn't like that evil bank manager, and the guard. I don't know if it was a director thing or an actor thing or a writing thing, but it just did not work for me. Even when I was a kid, I was like, this guy's annoying. This guy's obnoxious. This guy's a bad actor. When this guy gets stun gunned, he like,
oh, the guard
around
in
an annoying way.
The like karate guard.
Yeah. He's yelling. He's like threatening to torture these children at the end of this movie. Like, it's just none of it worked for me. And I couldn't even enjoy him getting tased because he had to be obnoxious about it. So, Big minus one on that one for me.
Did you like John Carroll Lynch in this movie?
Yeah, he was the one who liked De Niro. I thought he was pretty funny.
I thought that the whole bit of how they got the
turn the alarm off.
Yeah, that was stupid. That was ridiculous.
You can see the freaking crayon drawings in the background.
I know. It was so ridiculous. Again, suspension of disbelief. If it's unrealistic, fine. But the fact that that worked was ridiculous. I think that they're actually smart. I think they're good, and they're good at trying tricking adults. But that's where I draw the line. The fact that there's a crayon drawing as the backdrop or whatever. You know what I mean?
They could have just filmed it in front of just filmed it in front of a window.
I know. And it would have just been like, oh, don't you usually guys have sets? Like, no, we wanted to do the real location to make it more realistic. Great. Perfect. Do. Yeah, or in front of a real window. It doesn't matter what the window looks like.
Yeah. It was stupid. That was dumb.
Very stupid.
Do you have anything else you want to shit on? Probably, yeah.
So, well, I mean, not shit on, but Madeline, the password. We talked about bad passwords.
This Trevor, her name is the passcode. Her name is the passcode.
She would not have that as the passcode. And what is it supposed to be like? Her mom doesn't care for her or anything like that?
I think about you, Madeline, every day, all the time.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Of course she does. I don't know why she thinks she doesn't. And this is why I think this...
Well, I'm going to stop you there. Because she's a teenage girl. The same way that Anna thinks that her mom in Freaky Friday, oh, everyone's out to get me, you're ruining my life.
But she doesn't do that. That's not part of the conflict.
I think the fact that Max keeps, like, she keeps dumping Max on her, and again, in her perspective, she's like, you never think about what I want to do. Like, I don't know, it's a teenage girl thing.
She's just mad that her mom doesn't want her to climb. For good reason.
For good reason. But that's a... Have you seen Lady Bird, Trevor? It's kind of a thing that happens.
Okay, but that's the plot of the movie. It's just the relationship. I get what you're saying. And this is normally a fine thing to have. I'm not against this plot or whatever. But yeah.
I don't want to get hung up on it, but I feel like... You're a little overtly nitpicky on this one. And I think your nitpicks are valid.
No, this isn't nitpicks. These are core elements of the movie that I have an issue with. A nitpick is saying, I didn't like the shoes. No, I didn't like the shoes they wore. No, this core emotional string in the movie did not work for me.
Okay.
And that's fine in some kids' movies that are fun. But this movie took itself too seriously while being fun. The fact that they had a go-kart chase sequence in the streets of L.A. and that the go-karts escaped is preposterous. They're going the same speed. Show me a little bit more creativity of how they escaped. Like, why could... Explain how...
No. They show the go-karts going under the low bed of a truck, which the cars cannot chase after. They did exactly what you wanted them to do.
But it took them so long to do that. Like, because the go-karts were going faster than the car. That cannot happen. Go-karts, even with adjusting... Everyone I watched this with thought this scene sucked. My issue is that they're going the same speed. It wasn't that the go-karts were doing different tricks and then they eventually escaped by the truck. The go-karts were going fast and the cop cars were just lingering behind them. Show me a little bit more creativity in this chase sequence and why it works and how... In the reverse, the go-karts could do that again. There's a helicopter that parked on the highway. So they're bringing the full force of the LAPD here.
Am I making up that they had, like, a button that they pushed that made them go fast? Like, that nitrous thing in Mario
again,
Kart? That
ridiculous, though.
I'm not going to argue this anymore.
but it's like, okay, so the kids can do this. They're, like, secret geniuses. You can find it, you can defend it, but this is an issue that I had with the movie. You're not going to change my mind on it.
I'm not. You do you.
Okay. That's a core element. That's a core chase sequence. A core fun part of this movie. Kids doing cool things. I think it's kids doing ridiculous things.
Okay. Did you have any adult jokes, Trevor?
I'm having fun tonight.
Okay. I had a ass fart. I guess that's also like a kid joke, but they said ass. Mm-hmm.
Ass fart!
Oosh fart! You must show them respect!
Ouch fart!
The De Niro, are you talking to me? I had that
I guess that's
as
an adult joke.
It's an adult reference. And I feel like it's... I give it credit and I don't. Like, I wonder if I watched this with, like, my dad or with, like, an adult male or, like, a father figure, would they find this funny? I don't know. Like, a kid might not get this, but I'm wondering if an adult would be like, oh, that's funny. He's trying to do De Niro. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if they'd find it funny. It's a little silly. It's a little cringy.
It is. But member berries, what do you have here? Anything?
I think the story of when I saw this is very cool.
Yeah.
I think go-karting and going to, like, the go-kart racetrack is always really fun. I haven't done that in years. Probably since, like, I might have been in high school or something. It must have been in high school. Maybe even middle school. When was the last time you went go-karting?
I can't remember. Honestly, it's been a very long time. Because I have a car now. Oh, okay. So I just drive.
That's fair.
I did go on test track, though. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
My member berries, I listened to the commentary from this movie a couple times, and I think I was way too young for it. And also, they got away with some things that they shouldn't have. So they made a reference to, like, one of the stunts, or like the dolls or the whatever for the baby looks like a Chucky doll from Child's Play, and they're talking about that. So yeah, that was, I listened to a lot of the kids' commentaries on movies, like for this, for Cheap by the Dozen, for School of Rock, and so
right.
It was always like a cool experience to listen to kids talk about their experience making a movie, and this one stuck out to me. The cast, I've talked about it, huge member Barry, even though what they did at the time or before this time wasn't big, what they did after this movie brings me back a lot of childhood memories, so I want to call out that. And then Skip, one of the kids who handed Kristen Stewart some money at the end of the movie when he was in Cheap by the Dozen. He was Henry. He was Henry Baker in Cheap by the Dozen.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Like, keep the change. Tell your dad to feel better. That was him.
Who was that in Cheap by the Dozen again?
The clarinet player.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's all good.
You want to hear two nitpicks? Or one nitpick.
Okay, go for it.
A real quick nitpick, and then I have a like kind of an adult joke / product of its time joke reference. Mm-hmm. This movie leads me to believe that these kids are like geniuses. They're like great at, they can rob a bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
They drive directly to the hospital after this, a very public place or place with a lot of eyes on it, with the exact amount of money, all in cash, and they rob the exact amount of money. And they're like, okay, let's go. Let's go to, is it Norway? Sweden?
Copenhagen, I think they said.
Okay, so yeah. They're like, let's go to Copenhagen right now with the money we stole to get you the surgery. Let's go. Immediately. I thought
that's not even a nitpick. That is a valid criticism. Did they think, like, they're so smart, but they thought they were going to get away with this, like, in the middle of a police chase with a paraplegic man getting on a commercial flight where Corbin Blue's like, do you want window or aisle? For some reason, that line always stuck out to me as a kid. That's kind of a member berry, too. Whenever I think about choosing my seat on a plane, I'm like, do you want a window seat or an aisle? I'm a window person. It's a hot take, but I like windows.
I kind of like the window, too, because I like looking out. I just don't really like flying, as I've mentioned. I just get so antsy. And several times during the flight, you know, when it gets bumpy, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so antsy right now. Like, I can't get up. I can't walk around. It's a very small, you know, a plane's very small comparatively. Yeah. But yeah, that's okay. Cause I do it when I have to. And I don't just like hang out in the airport and go on plane rides. But yeah, they bought the plane tickets before they actually stole the money.
Mm-hmm. I thought so how do they pay for them? Maybe Austin hacked his way into buying a plane
ticket. Hacked his way, which totally can do. The actual,
to Copenhagen. How does he get there? Who gave? Where's his passport? Yep. Does he have parental permission to go overseas? Yep.
The other thing is, this is another minor nitpick. You know, it's an experimental surgery they're going to get. They might not work. It's experimental.
Well, I'll clarify this one. They said it's considered experimental, even though they've had immense success for it. And that was the setup for why the insurance wouldn't cover it.
Gotcha. Okay. Never mind. That's less.
I don't know if you were listening to the dialogue there.
No. So one more adult joke, like not really adult joke, but kind of reference, old dated reference, but they made a toupee joke. And maybe this is just something that doesn't really happen. I don't know if this is a member berry, but that's not like a thing that people joke about in movies anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't That was such a big joke. Like, oh, you have a toupee, or oh my God, you have a wig. It's not really a joke anymore.
It's not. I wonder if it's like a sensitivity thing or if it's just the joke's been done to death. I don't know. I've never thought they were hysterical, but
I didn't either.
I'm also, you know, knock on wood, I'm not balding. I've personally never found them offensive. I don't know. I just,
but
you know
what,
they don't do
them
that much anymore.
I would have to ask my parents, but maybe it was way more of a shameful thing for our parents' age.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a joke more for the parents. And that's kind of why I put it in adult joke, because I'm thinking about it more. I think those are jokes for our parents and stuff. The people, you know, taking us to the movie to see it, they're like, haha, toupee. Isn't that funny?
Just say your
like,
parents. Don't say and stuff.
Whatever.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm at the age right now where I actually have some friends who are starting to lose their hair and they're going crazy. I'm, you know, knock on wood, that is presently not happening to me.
But I know tons of bald people. Or I know bald, like getting bald spots slash being bald, it can work for some people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel, The Rock.
Yeah, Vin Diesel.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlize Theron, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, yeah. It works. Some people pull it off, so I don't know. I don't think the toupee is a good market anymore.
Who from this movie, Trevor, would you want to be your best friend of the three kiddos?
Kristen Stewart.
Maddie, I said
clearly.
I think growing up, I would have gravitated towards Austin because I'd have been like, oh, cool, we have the same name. I can be AJ and you can be Austin, though. So we know we can tell each other apart. Plus, he made movies and liked computers.
Yeah.
And that was me as a kid.
No, as a kid, I'd probably choose him. But now I'm like, okay, back then, I'd probably choose her. Did you, yeah. I mean, like, as a kid, did you have friends of the other, other genders, or was it really mostly guys?
No, I didn't have friends. It was a pretty good mix, honestly. I feel like, you know, I feel like, honestly, I've always had a pretty good mix of guys and girlfriends. Like, one of my best friends to this day is someone that I knew from third grade, and she's a girl. Whereas I'm still, like, really close with a lot of the guy friends that I had in college,
sure.
And a few of my guy friends in high school. And but also, like, another one of my best friends is, like, a friend that made in middle school who's a girl. So it's, I've had a pretty healthy mix, I would say. What about you?
Yeah, I'd say a healthy mix. I think more so, like, of late, I have more friends of all genders, more like after high school and after, but I don't know, middle school. No, I'd say, like, I've always kind of had good friends of all, but so I don't know. I think Kristen Stewart would be really cool to be friends with and things like that, and it would have been, like, super rad because she climbs and we could, like, do climb stuff and all those kinds of things.
You could climb water towers, Trevor.
We could climb water towers together.
You said a couple times in this movie that in this episode that the concept was really cool, but like it could have won you over, but it didn't. What if we remade this, or like, because I personally feel like, you know, by and large, I think you could release this as is, and like, sure, you could make some changes to make it like a more refined protagonist journey, but like, what do you want to see in a remake or a redo of this?
Again, I think this concept is good. Kids rob me, even not necessarily robbing a bank, but robbing something. Kids doing a heist. I think that works. Mm-hmm. And it's done in other movies in different ways. Kids doing something. Kids on a plan. Max Keeble, mm-hmm. There's a heist scene in that. And it's great. Kids mm-hmm. hatching a plan and doing something. I actually really liked Max Keeble on that one because mm-hmm. I thought it was charming. I thought the relationships and the dynamic between the characters was really good. And it was something relatable. I think there's not a whole lot of relatability in this movie, and maybe that was another reason why it was hard for me to get behind one of the things I need in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need all of them, like I said. I just need something to latch on to, and I was struggling. So I think if you could find a way to have kids do a robbery or a heist, doesn't need to be a bank, doesn't need to be a high-security bank, something a little bit more believable, add a little bit more gimmicks in this. You have a couple of gimmicks, but they take them too seriously. I say lean into this, right? You know Good Boys? We talked about
Good Boys.
We're going to do Good Boys at some point, I imagine.
I think we could do it for Patreon this year because it's five years.
Yeah, we'll do Good Boys for Patreon. That'd be fun.
That's August. We'll do it this summer.
Yeah, all right, let's do it. So I think having not necessarily a rated R heist, but I think having that kind of dynamic, those three actors are perfect together. And if they did a heist scene, which they kind of do a little heisty stuff in there, they try and get the drone back. They try and like they get the sex doll and stuff. Just kids hatching plans works. It is a tried and true gimmick that works. You don't need to have all of them have individual skills as long as there's good actors and they have good like chemistry. Stranger Things, another great example. They don't do a heist, but they do plans. They go into things. They defeat fucking monsters together.
Can I push back on that like a little bit? So I hear entirely what you're saying. I feel like this is like a gateway drug for heist movies for kids. I love Good Boys and I love Stranger Things. They're two of my favorite pieces of media in the past 5 years. The issue with what I think you're saying, though, is that those are not for children. Stranger Things is not a kid's show. Good Boys is very much not a kid's movie. And so I feel like
I'm saying
you can
that the
subvert
actors
those
are
expectations.
Like the acting is good in those. And
it
those
is,
actors
but they're
could be a kid's movie.
But they're more refined Hollywood, you know, not necessarily for children productions. I see what you're saying, and I think if what you're trying to say is you can have a production with children where you don't need to have this is this person, this is this person, this is this person, fair point. My issue is the examples that you cited are not really for kids. And you know what? Maybe we talk about like Little Rascals, like, you know, Alfalfa and Spanky just like pull off a couple heists. Like they're not necessarily the this guy or the that guy actually. Maybe they are. I don't know, because Spanky's a driver, Alfalfa's the... I take it back, but...
Little Rascals are ridiculous, though. That's why I like that movie.
Yeah.
It's like very... They have the car race scene at the end. That's good. They should have Little Rascaled this. It's just have a go-kart race for money.
But I think what this movie was trying to do is, like, you know, be that gateway drug for an Ocean's 11. Be a kid's version of Ocean's 11. And I think that's all it was trying to do. And is it a... No, it's not a flawless endeavor at all, but it's... It is what it is. But with that, do we want to move over to Final Verdict?
Sure.
So, Trevor, is this movie more fun than Agent Cody Banks?
This is certainly not. This movie is not more fun than Agent Cody Banks. It's not as fun as Spy Kids. It's not as fun as any real heist movie or any kids movie to really compare it to. So I'm not going to really recommend this to anybody. I will say that I could 100% see myself watching this as a kid and having the time of my life, which, you know, happens a lot. I think that it's something like we've talked about many times for a lot of movies. It totally would have worked for me. I'm sad I didn't see it as a kid because I didn't have any enjoyment, but so it goes. That's what happens. I'm going to recommend another heist movie that I think is probably a little bit underseen, but certainly a lot of fun. Not really for kids, but it's only PG-13, so if you want, you probably could, if you're like 10, 11, and probably have a good time. Logan Lucky, if you haven't seen it, just a really, really fun time. A lot of great characters, a lot of great casts, and just a fun little heist movie just done to a T. Like, this is a heist movie. Come watch it. Come enjoy.
Alrighty. I'm going to say, I think when I was a kid, I probably liked Agent Cody Banks more, but on this rewatch, I think I liked this more than Agent Cody Banks as an adult. Wow. So, yeah, I'm going to go out and just say, no, don't bust out the $3.99 on Amazon for it. But this was a fun to revisit. I thought this was a harmless... I you know, Trevor's nitpicks aside, I had a good time watching it. So I didn't love it. I didn't think it was exceptional, but this was a fun revisit. So if you liked this movie as a kid and you want to revisit it, I don't see any harm in doing that. You can just watch Logan Lucky because I didn't think of an alternate recommendation if you don't want to watch it. But before we go... I forgot to read these at the beginning. I wanted to read a few Letterboxd reviews because I thought that some of the top-rated Letterboxd reviews for this movie are insane. So here we go. Evan W. says, Kristen Stewart literally destroys the three evils of this world, capitalism, cops, and men, in one movie, absolute queen. Megan says, they could have just started a GoFundMe. Alice says, Kristen Stewart could do Mission Impossible, but Tom Cruise could not do Spencer.
That's a great review.
Yeah. Spencer, no pun intended, says, nobody ever says catch that kid. Inexcusable.
Well, this movie was going to be called something else, like Mission Responsible or something.
Yeah. But anyways, those are a few that I thought were great. Look at the top rated reviews for this movie on Letterboxd, and you're just going to have a blast. Before we head out, we have to thank our patrons, because our patrons rule, and our patrons pay us to say their names and also give them bonus content and to write their names in the show notes and all that fun stuff and get early episode releases. So to Emil, Ben Franke, Ray Muno, Stephen Schinder, Trevor Sprouse, you guys rock. Thank you so much for being patrons. And if you want to be a patron and, you know, help pay for my wedding budget, you can head on over to Patreon and you can sign up at the upper level tier and you'll get all of those goodies and more. Trevor, what are we doing in 2 weeks?
Well, as you know, maybe you don't know because I know you're out of the loop. The baseball season just started. And while I'm not a huge fan of baseball, I do like it enough to have seen this movie.
Okay.
So for this 30th anniversary, we're going to be watching a baseball movie. And let's just say there is someone over us also watching it with us. Maybe many of them over us, watching down on us, watching this movie.
Dude, I am so glad we're doing this movie. I completely forgot that it was an anniversary year.
Yeah. I'm excited Alrighty. To see it. And this is, we'll see if this is another movie that doesn't really work when you're an adult. But as a kid, I have seen this and I loved it. So,
yeah. Really, really hoping that this holds up well. I don't think it's streaming anywhere. So we'll have to, is it streaming on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I know when it first came out, something. It wasn't.
It might be, like, some other things.
It's on, like, it's on you can watch it on TBS, free with cable TV, so I'll just watch I'll just DVR it at some point. McConaughey's in this movie? Jesus, crow.
I don't even remember him.
Was he the dad? Was he, the adoptive dad, maybe?
Or the
abandoning dad. Oh, well, we'll see. Trevor, you want to sign us off?
That's another episode of the Old Kids Movies. Thanks
for
listening.
Trevor, before you sign us off, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a groomsman at my wedding?
Is this a bit?
No, dead serious.
Oh my God. Of course, I'd love to be. Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely. Wouldn't have it any other way, man.
What do I have to do?
You know, come to the wedding, come to the bachelor party, and buy me a really, really nice gift.
I don't know if I can do that. Is it like all or nothing? I have to do all three or none of them?
All three.
All right, for you, I'll get you a nice gift. I'll get you a nice coupon to McDonald's.
Oh boy, can't wait. I'm sure Allison will appreciate that.
This is real. He just asked me right now.
I'm dead serious, yes.
I don't know what to say. You should see my face.
Cemented. That's why I wanted your camera on today, dude. Oh.
You could have told me. He said something like that. Like, just put it on. There's a reason. I'll be like, okay. Then I would have put it on, but it would have taken a few minutes for me to find the camera. I haven't gotten it out since I moved here, and it's dug deep somewhere.
Well,
thank you, AJ. I'm so excited.
You're welcome. Send me a fake picture of your reaction or something like that.
I will send a picture. Congratulations again. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And everyone say congratulations to AJ. If we haven't made a Twitter post about it, we will. Bye-bye.